welcome to Hype episode 32. We have Merma and Josh here this week, and somebody we haven't seen in a while, unless you watched the Lost episode, which is impossible.
The episode that you didn't watch.
Yes. Yeah. We also have Selena here this week. Welcome back, Selena.
Welcome back.
Yay! Welcome back, Selena.
So good to have
you. Where have you been?
We fired Kyle, then we said, well, who should join us? And who better than Selena? So.
Exactly. We're exactly alike, me and Kyle.
Yes, you are, actually. So it's actually been a slow news period. It's the end of August. All the shows are getting ready to start up again. All the Hollywood bigwigs are on vacation, not talking to J.K. Rowling and figuring out what's next for Fantastic Beasts. So we have like a mishmash of stories to talk about today. I have a feeling it may be a little bit shorter of a show, but that's okay. It's a good way to get Selena back into it.
Yeah, not too much, too fast. It'll just scare me off. So
baby steps. Mm-hmm. So first, we're going to start with a couple of rumors, because if we're talking rumors at the start of the show, it must be a slow news week. Lionsgate had an investor conference call a couple of weeks ago, and they said, somebody asked, so you obviously want to expand on the Divergent property. You're doing four films. Are there any other ways you can grow? And is one of them potentially a movie based around the Four book, a Divergent collection, which was just released in June, I guess it was. So, Merma, I know you read this book. Does that sound like a good idea?
It's more Theo James on my screen. It sounds like an excellent idea. I don't know who would be arguing about that. If it would depend how they wanted to do it. If they wanted to do like a singular narrative about Four before Triss came in Divergent, then they would have to fill in a lot of gaps, because the stories are little stories, you know, it's not a complete narrative. But I think it could work. There's definitely potential in the book for them to work with.
Mm-hmm. It seems
Go ahead. I kind of like the idea of doing prequel movies, just because I like the standard or the precedent it'll set, because I really want to watch preview movies for all kinds of things. But come on, I don't know. It's too much. There's already four movies.
Like
there's only three books.
Four, whenever they release them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's already so old. Already by the time he does it, he'll be like middle aged.
Yeah. And I wrote that in my article. I said Theo James is 29 now. So yeah. And Divergent,
and it takes a good ancient 2 years to make a movie.
Yeah, and Allegiant Part 2 is coming out in 2017. So, I mean,
he's gonna be a 40. He's gonna be the new Batman, the 45-year-old Batman.
So what I'm thinking is maybe they would recast him, do a younger actor, because they were looking at younger actors when they were initially casting for
originally. Yeah,
and you know,
but then no one will watch it because if they got the Allegiant or the Divergent people watching for Theo James, they don't have them, and they don't have Triss, they don't have anyone.
Yeah, that's true. But can you imagine him like playing Four before Divergent when he's like 35, 36?
It'll be like Glee when all of the students are older than the people that play the teachers.
That's
how old is he supposed to be in the if he would play this? How old would he supposed to be?
It's just set in kind of his last year or. Yeah, basically, like, as he's transferring over. So he's, like, a couple years younger. So they wouldn't be able to recast it. You know, it's not like a big enough age difference.
It'll be like when they made Snape look younger in Harry Potter. It'll be, like, super creepy.
Mm. Yeah. I think if they think they could get away with it, they would kind of be crazy not to do it. Because people would go and see it. But it might just be ridiculous by the time they're finished up with Allegiant Part 2.
Yeah.
Well, they just need Allegiant to do well.
Exactly. If Allegiant Part 1 and 2 is a big hit, then they will absolutely do it. And I mean, there's precedent for this. There's, The Hobbit, sort of a similar thing. Now we see Fantastic Beasts doing the same thing. Lionsgate wants to make as much money off of these fandoms as possible, so...
I can't believe you just compared that to The Hobbit.
Well,
very similar.
In that Warner Brothers is like, more source material, there's an actual book, let's do something with it. That's what I mean. Not story-wise.
More material, I got you.
Yeah, that's all I mean. So I thought that was interesting.
But Divergent only made like $274 million on an $85 million budget.
Maybe it'll be
and
a direct.
They advertised the hell out of that movie. So
maybe it'll be a direct to DVD film.
That always makes me sad.
And they're going to call it Four Origins.
Oh, please.
Oh, God.
What's the movie in development right now with that? With Josh, you should know.
Is it what?
What's the movie with origins in the title? Is it the Jungle Book Oranges?
Yes. Jungle Book. Yeah. Oranges. Jungle Book Origins.
Origins.
The dumbest origin story.
By the way,
yeah, they did cast like 14 actors yesterday, and it was like all Oscar winners. So
yeah,
pretty weird.
So maybe a decent film.
Do we have this?
No, I actually don't. If you do, you want to talk about that?
No, it was just weird that they cast like Christian Bale, Kate Blanchett, and a couple other pretty big name actors. In Andy Serkis is directing this one. It's Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah,
Warner Brothers,
and it's his directorial debut. So
yeah, well, he directed Second Unit on The Hobbit, the trilogy. So
I watched that in the special features.
Me too.
Yeah. It's awesome to see him, you know, behind the scenes, because he's such a great guy. But
if I was
it'd
Andy
be interesting
Serkis
to see how this film turns out now that it has all these crazy actors in it, but it's still just voice work. So
if I was Andy Serkis, I would not agree that I would not allow my first film to have origins in the title. Oh my gosh, I would put my foot down.
I wouldn't want my first film to be a voice work, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean, it's like another animated film. His whole thing has been he can't get out of, you know, the CGI work.
Yeah,
and it's like I definitely wouldn't, this wouldn't be my first film if I was him.
So the other rumor I wanted to talk about was Mockingjay. There's a rumor that a trailer may be out this weekend at the MTV VMAs. But related to that, Lionsgate has been sending fan sites, not us, sending fan sites these like postcards of well-known locations around the world, like Big Ben, New York City, blah, blah, blah. And they've got the Mockingjay symbol kind of graffitied on these landmarks around the world. And the date on these postcards, or whatever you want to call them, is today, August 21st, 2014. So there may be something happening today, some sort of announcement, Mockingjay related.
So it was on the billboards that we've been seeing?
No, not billboards.
I know we saw a couple, or we saw a new billboard.
Yeah. They've been throwing up some
billboards. I was wondering about this, because all the Mockingjay like pre-release material is really cool, but is there anything that you would really like to see that would actually be exciting to you? You know what I mean? Like, it's just clips from the movie, you know?
Yeah, well,
posters, we get it, you know?
Well, I my feeling is we're still 3 months away from this movie being released, and it seems like there's been a lot already.
It has been. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, what else is left?
Yeah, and the Comic-Con trailer just came out about a month ago, so are we actually getting another trailer already? It seems really early.
They do a lot of unique advertising, though, so I wouldn't be surprised if something came out that we couldn't even expect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I'd love something that wouldn't be in the movie that's just for promotional material.
Well,
like they did that. They did that exactly that one with the
snow
words English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the hacking one that was really cool and that really set the tone of the movie. I'd love something like that, like a little clip that isn't like just a clip from the movie. But
well,
we're
due for one more of those with, in my opinion, we should get one more of those with Katniss appearing in it.
Yeah.
You know, like appearing on camera. I don't know, saying something. I'm with you.
I felt like they were building up to that, and then it just stopped.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have.
Maybe that's today.
My podcast.
Yeah, well.
Watching and Katniss,
I would die.
The promotional campaign is hashtag I am the Mockingjay. So Katniss is the Mockingjay. This campaign that's coming out that has a date for today, whatever that means. So we'll see what that's about. I'm sure as soon as we release this show, they'll it'll all be unveiled, and then this episode will be out of date. But speaking of the Hunger Games, there's this interesting. We've known about this for a while. Lionsgate is considering a Hunger Games theme park attractions. Now, some sites love to go for the clickbait angle and do The Hunger Games theme park, we're above that. We will not mislead you. Lionsgate is deep into conversations with theme parks for Hunger Games attractions. They said on the same investor call that I mentioned the Four story came from, he said, the Lionsgate CEO said they are, quote, deep into conversations with prospective partners on four continents to explore theme park attractions and other location-based entertainment opportunities, meaning this could be a worldwide attraction.
Hey, let's get it to the UK.
Come to Australia.
And Australia, sure. Not to leave you out.
Well,
yeah, thanks.
That's great that it may be in a country near you, but the problem is, as everybody loves to bring up, is that
it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, the Hunger Games does not.
No, the Hunger Games. No,
yeah,
that's the dumbest idea of all time.
Right.
Yeah.
Dystopians. Somebody, I read this on Twitter. I think this was a good point. Dystopians can't do well in theme parks because they're horrible worlds. Nobody wants to.
The Hunger Games, more than any of them.
Yeah. And
it's literally like kids killing kids. Like, how can you make that fun?
Yeah, and the capital is like this whole thing about like consumerism and like voyeurism and everything. It's basically like this theme park parody, and then they're like, "Hey, let's make a theme park attraction."
Yeah,
it's so like a prophecy fulfilling itself, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
like it's getting to be real.
But we underestimate those studio execs. I mean, when a movie makes $1 billion, it doesn't surprise me that there's a lot of talk about this kind of stuff, even if it's ridiculous.
And the other question is...
There'll be a Divergent theme park as well.
Oh, no. Ride the Ferris wheel. That's the only thing they could get away with.
Jump off the one building.
Yeah. Jump off the... Yeah, okay, zip lining. They have some attractions in Divergent.
They would have the train. It would be like a roller coaster thing.
Yeah, Divergent actually works a lot better.
Like, the only theme park I want, other than the Harry Potter one, would be a Percy Jackson one. Like, that's the only one I can see would be fun.
Oh, that would be cool.
Young adults. You know, like Camp Half-Blood.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's all just, no.
But they just don't have the audience. I don't think they have the...
No, I guess not.
But the problem with the Hunger Games is I don't think it has the shelf life. I don't know if it's going to... Isn't it kind of just going to drop dramatically once Mockingjay Part 2 comes out? I mean, Harry Potter, the reason it's stuck around for so long is it's whimsical, it's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hunger Games, I mean...
It also applies to younger kids, good. Too.
Yeah, that's true. But so the books are good in The Hunger Games, but I think the movies, they are... that it's the star power that really gets people into it. You can disagree with that. That's the way I've experienced it. It's Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Hutcherson that people are like, ah. Well,
oh, I think the movies are like genuinely good, but I would agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, what gets them...
Yeah, but like the whole thing about The Hunger Games, there's so much hype now, but will it stick around because it's kind of a downer? Like, it's sort of depressing. Whereas Harry Potter is, like, lovely, and everyone gets together and celebrates things, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I could definitely see it. Not like, going away completely, but it will drop a lot, I think, once Mockingjay Part 2 comes out.
Mm-hmm. Well, despite all this...
Until they do, like, Gale, a Hunger Games collection.
For sure.
Gale Origins. But see, here's the thing. I mean, Suzanne Collins is not writing more material. In fact, she hasn't written any books except for a children's book since The Hunger Games was published, which I don't know if I brought this up on Hype before, but I feel like there's this, maybe it's not a curse, but these authors just make so much money off of these huge books, they just like stop writing.
Maybe they just don't care anymore.
Yeah,
just rolling around to their money somewhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just have one idea, and it's a really good idea, and they sort of, maybe they just get performance anxiety, and they're afraid the next one's not going to be good enough.
Yeah.
I think that, but I also think there's lots of people coming at them, and they're like, you know, we've got to do more with this book, because everybody loves this book, and I think they probably get so sick of it that they're just like, all right, you know, I'm done.
Yeah. When I'm not writing this, I'm not writing anything.
They feel like I'm wasting my time if I'm not writing. Because you have a publisher. You know, you still have, even if your movie's making $1 billion or whatever, you still have a publisher, and they're telling you, you know, this is what you should be working on.
Or in the case of J.K. Rowling, you take an extended break, which may be what Suzanne Collins...
Well, J.K. Rowling's kind of an anomaly.
Yeah,
so it's a little bit different.
But I'm going to take crap for this. And by the way, viewers, there's 21 people watching right now. Thank you, everybody who's tuned in live. You can.
Oh, how exciting!
You can submit questions if you want. There's some sort of button, but it's available. Please do submit questions. We'd be
somewhere in your house.
Yeah, I don't know how
where
it works.
Do we find this button
somewhere. You may have to go to the Google.
Jennifer Lawrence will come on.
Google Plus event page. You can submit questions, and we'll be happy to answer them. But what I was going to say, and I'm going to catch crap for this, is, you know, Stephanie Meyer, the author of the Twilight books, promised a story about mermaids.
Oh, yeah.
I want the mermaid book.
I totally forgot about that.
I want to see new books from popular authors that I read.
Well, she also about mermaids.
She also promised the host too, and that isn't happening.
Yeah, where's the host too?
I want Midnight Sun. Where's
yeah,
like they're trying to forget about the host. They're like that movie wasn't made.
That book was so good.
Midnight Sun. I always refused to read Midnight Sun because I was waiting.
Read it. I haven't read Twilight. Oh. I know it exists.
I've read them all.
You should read Twilight, Marima.
I just watched Breaking Dawn Part 1 like last night.
Breaking Dawn Part 2 is actually pretty good. They did a really good
job
with the
battle. I don't mind the movies. It's the weirdest thing. You know, I have a lot of friends that are just laugh at me for it, but Twilight's not bad. It's actually watchable.
I've seen the movies, but I haven't read the books. I couldn't finish the first one. I apologize.
It's okay.
I can't read, so...
Actually, the best Eclipse movie...
Josh is totally illiterate.
I only see things.
That's
I
why
can't.
You're our movies guy. If anybody's looking to try one Twilight film, I would recommend Eclipse, actually. It's dark.
I like Eclipse.
Yeah, Eclipse is good.
It's very different.
Which is that?
It's a third one.
Third one.
So, right in the middle.
Yeah.
With zero context. Perfect.
Exactly.
All right, so...
I thought the last one was pretty good. Like, the... I remember laughing at Kristen Stewart when she's like getting pissed off at Jacob for like imprinting or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like the most ridiculous thing ever, but it just works.
That was a great scene.
I think it's because you suspend your belief with that film or that series. You're like, I can deal with this.
All right,
yeah.
Twilight cast.
It's a slow
Twilight
news week. Imprint. That was my own Twilight podcast.
Yeah. No. Sorry.
I just want to say one more thing. The battle at the end of Breaking Dawn Part 2, when you think everybody is dying.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler!
That's new for the book. And that wasn't in the book. And everybody's dying, and you're thinking, oh, my God, this is amazing. They're actually killing everybody. This is an incredible surprise. And then it was all a dream. Or a vision.
I thought it was amazing. But I thought they did a great job with that without destroying the book.
That's the only one I haven't seen, I think.
We got
the last one.
Like a huge battle, and then it's like over. But everybody in the whole theater just blew up because they were just like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that.
We got a question here from Jimmy Wong. Stephanie Meyer pseudonym? Maybe she's writing under a fake name.
Maybe Suzanne Collins is.
Well, I guess that would be smart, right? Because these are huge authors. They would get all the attention in the world for their new books, and they probably don't want to be criticized heavily. I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble today and ask if there's been any new mermaid book published in the past couple of years.
They're going to be like, get out.
Mermaid book. Oh, perfect.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy, for that question. So let's move on to some other news.
That wouldn't surprise me. I think that there's probably a lot of that going on.
There might be. Mm.
Yeah.
So, in some other news now, let's talk Transformers. I thought this was an interesting story. Now, I have not seen any Transformers movies, but there was a story last week. Michael Bay is not planning on directing Transformers 5, which would be big news because Transformers movies have been so bad, and maybe a new director could breathe some exciting life into this series, right?
Definitely. Like, you couldn't be worse than Michael Bay.
It's pretty bad.
The Transformers movies under Michael Bay are like 30% not making sense and 10% girls stripping down and then the rest explosions.
And but then like blurry screen.
Correct me if I'm wrong though, but isn't that why people like them so much? Like, isn't half the enjoyment just the absurdity?
I think so. Yeah.
Do people like them though? Like, do any of you know someone that says like, "I really liked
the
last Transformers movie"?
Well, I have friends that
love the premiere.
Like, the first one and two, like the first one, I loved because I grew up with Transformers. But the second one, you know, started to get ridiculous. And by the third, I can't take this anymore. And the fourth one was, I still don't understand it. So, I feel like, I don't know. I just, I, I don't understand how people can enjoy them now. I can understand the first one, but the
it's
but
made
now,
like a billion like dollars.
Yeah,
so
it crossed,
obviously
it crossed a billion
watching
dollars.
It.
Someone's watching it. I'm just wondering if they're liking it because no one I've talked to liked the last one.
But the question is, does that matter if they're watching
it? If they go and see it.
It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. Yeah, because they would have dropped off by now if they were. I think the third one made more money than any of them. So, the one before this one. So, it didn't drop off because the quality dropped off, you know.
There's also some interesting Pixar news, speaking of potential disasters. So there was this movie that was supposed to come out this year called The Good Dinosaur. It was Pixar's 2014 original film. I was excited for this. I like dinosaurs, love Jurassic Park, you know, everybody likes dinosaurs. So this movie got delayed. It got pushed to November 2015. And now today we're learning that Collider spoke to one of the voice actors, John Lithgow, and he says that the movie has been completely dismantled and reimagined. And he's going, he already recorded his lines for the movie, but he's actually going back in to record new dialogue. And apparently a ton of new dialogue if you read between the lines. So they've completely redone this story, which is really interesting because it just, I can't wait to see what this movie is going to be like now. Is it going
to
be great?
He says it's
going to
be a lot better, apparently.
Yeah, he's really confident in it. Yeah. An example.
I was waiting to see like if it's going to be bad, like he was going to say it was going to be terrible.
Some say Brave was not a good story. And
I love Brave.
Well, okay. Some people were. I had a really horrible experience watching Brave, so it just did not go over well for me. But some people were saying Brave was rushed through production, which may hurt its reception. So Pixar is going to have two original movies out next year. Inside Out comes out in June, and that's by the who is that by? Inside Out. And so that comes out in the summer, and that's about the voices inside the emotions inside of your head. One of them is happy, one of them is sad, and then there's like three or four others. Inside Out is directed by Pete Docter, who, of course, is best known for Up. He also directed Monsters, Inc. So
it's going to be good.
Yeah, two very good films.
It's going to be so sad.
The first 10 minutes are going to be so sad, and the rest of the film is going to be great.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what Pixar puts out next year. I mean, they've received a lot of criticism because they've been relying on sequels, but you know, recently they have said now we're going to do a mix of sequels and original films. I think they're going to do a sequel every 2 years and an original film every year. So you're going to be getting more original films than sequels.
That's exciting.
Yeah. That is exciting, actually, and unexpected.
Unexpected because you haven't checked the hypeable news. Come on.
Keep up.
Unexpected in today's society full of sequels and remakes, I mean.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense. I'm just messing with you.
Good save.
Yeah, thanks.
There's a little Frozen news. I know I don't think our panel is very passionate about Frozen, but I wanted to...
I still haven't seen it.
What?
Nice.
It's only the highest grossing animated film of all time.
I know, but I'm in Denmark. I don't get this stuff over here.
Isn't Frozen like set there?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
It's not set in Denmark. I'm just kidding.
No.
Disney is capitalizing on Frozen and Always Possible, and they are doing a television special here in the United States that Josh and I have already cleared our schedules for. Actually, I am seriously clearing my schedule because they say, the reason I wanted to bring this up, they say there is going to be, quote, exciting announcements about the next chapter of Frozen. So.
Melted.
The spinoff, Melted, starring Olaf. He wants to enjoy some. Well, I don't think it's going to be an actual sequel announcement because it's too early. They want to take their time on the story. Yeah. But, I mean, But why say this? We know there's going to be Frozen on Ice. That's the ice show. You know, Disney does these on ice productions. There's going to be the Frozen Broadway musical. There's going to be the Frozen chapter books, which are going to tell the story of Anna and Elsa after Frozen. So is that going to be one of the exciting announcements? I hope not, because that's not even annoying. Exciting.
The book will be the easiest thing to do quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, everything else is going to take a lot of time. The book will be done.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Definitely. Multiple books. So it could be that, but is that exciting?
No, it's not. Not for adults.
Not really.
Not for adults.
Not for anyone.
Well, for surely. Kids.
You're probably going to pair this movie with a lot of that stuff, though, because they just have so many fans, like young fans.
You know, people at Disney World wait 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours yes. to meet Anna and Elsa.
I walk past those crazy people.
Oh.
To meet Elsa. The characters.
Including my own brother. Nuts. Well,
disown him immediately.
Yeah, that's bad.
Maybe they're going to do a theme park.
Maybe.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. I was like, they're going to do a theme park at Frozen before whatever. Well,
there's actually rumors that they're going to take over one of the lands in Epcot, Norway. They're going to take over that, or they're going to theme it around
oh, really?
Frozen. Yeah.
I was going to say, they should put it in like Greenland cool. or something random. Mm. Get some tourists.
Yeah.
They should put it in that place where you can stay at the hotel that's built out of ice.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Okay, so there's some movie date news we wanted to talk about as well. It's always interesting when they announce movie release dates, because you get to see where they're putting the films, like where are they squeezing them in. They're putting them near already films that have already claimed dates around that time. So, for example, Power Rangers, the live-action movie, got a release date mere days after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles swept the box office. Power Rangers live-action is coming out July 22nd, 2016. Did anybody watch Power Rangers as a kid?
2016. That's like 3 years ago. Away.
Two. It's 2 years. Just
like,
around
I can't
the
even
corner.
Imagine that far ahead.
I know, it's far.
Jeez. And don't ask me about Warner Brothers movies then.
Yeah, seriously.
Like 2020.
Yeah. You're not going to like our next story.
I watched Power Rangers, and I didn't tell anyone as I was growing up because I was afraid of getting beat up. But
Power Rangers were cool. Show. It wasn't lame to watch Power Rangers.
Yeah. No, it was not cool where I lived.
Really?
I lived them. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, was your favorite Power Ranger the pink Power Ranger? I can see why people would beat you up for that.
I don't remember what color was my favorite.
You have to say
it was the pink one, right?
Black,
yellow,
blue, yellow, green.
So I probably liked the pink
red.
One.
Yeah, I never liked Power Rangers.
I liked the blue one.
I never saw it.
No. I don't remember the characters at all. I just remember secretly watching them.
And then other release date news. Selena, this is really going to blow your mind, like Marima said. Godzilla 2 has been set for June 8th, 2018.
Godzilla 2? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, the reason they do this
is so depressing.
Is because they want to, you know, plant their flag in these certain dates, these profitable
they just want
dates.
Someone to make, like, a image for that return of Godzilla with that like surprise bitch meme from Tumblr.
From American Horror Story, right? I believe
right.
that's from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
My
so...
one contribution to this.
Wasn't Godzilla really it was a good film, Josh? Didn't people like it?
It was pretty good. Yeah, a lot of people liked it. Yeah.
And it made money, so well more importantly it made money. That's why
surprise.
A sequel's happening.
I was going to look it up, but it was a decent amount, I think.
Unlike Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which does have a sequel in development and did not get good reviews, but it did make a lot of money. But where I was going with that, I didn't finish that thought, is that so Power Rangers, they're kind of Power Rangers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they were on TV around the same time. So
yep.
Lionsgate, who is teaming up with the Power Rangers company to do this film, they saw how big the Turtles did and were like, oh, crap, okay. There's a thirst for 90s. So that's why that date has been set. And next year we'll be talking about how it was delayed. How it is delayed.
It doesn't seem like that would translate as well as like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I think...
You know, from when it came out to when, you know, coming out now. Like, as a 90s kid, like, I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I didn't even go see the film because it got such bad reviews. But the Power Rangers, I, you know, liked but that doesn't feel like a movie that I would want to go see.
I think the Power Rangers, if they get away from just making like a film that'll sell tickets and try to make something cool, I think it could be really interesting as a movie to develop the characters and to do all the fighting, and you know, like, it might be fun if they do it right. But they
I guess the design of the main suits would be you know, important.
But yeah. Josh, what if it was an origin story? Power Rangers
you mean
origins.
Power Rangers origins.
First range.
And they're like different colors.
How they choose the colors.
Yeah. They all see like a sign in the closet.
Grab. No, I don't want black either. It's too hot in the sun.
They start out.
They're like 13-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Josh and I both watch Walking Dead, so I thought I would include this. Robert Kirkman, the creator of the comic series and executive producer of the television series, he says, he was asked by comicbook.com if they have discussed Daryl, played by Norman Reedus, his sexuality. And he asked, comicbook.com asked if Daryl could be gay. And Robert Kirkman said, all I can say is that it's been discussed and him being gay had been considered. Which really is surprising on multiple levels. One, Daryl is obviously a fan favorite, particularly among women, because Norman Reedus, for some reason, they find him attractive. Okay, whatever. And then just that, you know, they would even bother, you know, making him gay. It just doesn't seem, it seems bit random.
A lot of people were like, oh, they're finally bringing a gay character. I was like, there's been gay characters on the show since, like, what, a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, right? There was a lesbian couple on the show.
There was a lesbian couple, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I didn't understand, like, if Daryl was gay, then it would be a big deal because of his fan base, but not because of the show. I mean, the show's already kind of gone through this.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, has he had any relationships in the show?
Well, that's the thing, is he just had, like, a kind of relationship with a young woman, Beth, on the show.
But not romantic,
it,
really.
It seemed... Say what?
Not romantic.
Not romantic, but very close to romantic, and to the point where you were expecting something to finally happen between them.
Yeah.
And then, I won't spoil it, but she gets taken away from him. No, she doesn't die, but she just gets taken away from him.
Turns into a zombie!
And he can't, you know, pursue it. But I thought that he was going to have a relationship with her. So I guess
maybe that's why he didn't.
But yeah, no, I mean, it seemed like he was pursuing her a little bit instead of her pursuing him.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he's bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he has, like, a lot of people think that most of this is because he got, like, beat when he was a kid and he was treated like, you know, crap. And he's even told a story where, like, he got lost for 3 days and no one, his parents didn't even know he was gone. So, like, he obviously had a troubled childhood. So this could be explained in multiple ways. And, well, I'm just saying his response to a lack of relationship could repeat, you know, multiple things. It could be his abusive, you know, upbringing, or it could be that he's, you know, closet gay.
Yeah. Kirkman also said, we have very specific ideas about his sexuality. If there's ever a quiet period in the show where he's not consistently distracted by crossbowing, we'll tackle it in the show. So
I like that.
But I'm glad that he has that. It doesn't seem like something that they should, I mean, we don't need to discuss because, you know, but it doesn't seem like something they should need to take a lot of time to focus on.
No,
like, in an
no.
ideal world, it would just be part of his character.
And yeah. I think it would alienate a lot of viewers. It sounds a little, I don't know.
Rating.
You think they're pandering?
No.
Well, Kirkman is pretty witty, so it doesn't surprise me that he would throw this out here just to kind of screw with people.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, Daryl's a cool character. It really doesn't change his character. I mean, I guess it would change maybe his perception, but
I would stop watching. I'm going to protest.
You'd stop watching.
Yeah, I'm giving up with this show. So that's that. The show premieres in October, by the way.
Yeah, the creator is really awesome. Look up some of his interviews if you haven't.
I got to talk to him at Comic-Con.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he's a cool
guy.
He's
really like a... Not like any Hollywood person you've ever seen, just because he's not really Hollywood. You know, he's just a comic book writer, or, well, graphic novelist, rather.
I have a request on Twitter. Yeah, Muggle, it's me, wants me to turn my hat backwards. So there we go.
Yeah. For you.
Yeah.
Nice. So,
that's how he usually wears it. He was just trying to look professional.
This is not how I usually wear it.
Yeah, before he turns the camera on,
every day. Yeah.
So, Marima, tell us about Who Week. Doctor Who is coming up this Saturday. It premieres. What is, we've done this awesome feature. We're running it all week where we're doing all these Doctor Who features. So tell us what's been going on.
Yes, we have been having lots of fun things. We've been having a new article up every day and a new super difficult quiz up every day. And these people who are commenting on these quizzes being like, oh, I got 9 out of 10. This is super easy. What are you doing? Because I feel like I'm a pretty big Doctor Who fan and I get like 3 out of 10, maybe, if I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. So it's been very demoralizing. But yeah, aside from that, we've had some cool features. There was an infographic with like the best speeches that the Doctor's given. We did an article on some historical episodes we like to see and why we're proud to be Whovians. And we've got a couple articles up that were written by Hyperball readers as well. So if you want to contribute, there is still time. You can do a news by you and tell us something fun about Doctor Who or like something you'd like to see in the upcoming series, and we'll totally publish it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, it has to be decent.
That's
but yeah,
so
we'll
exciting. Pause.
Well, yeah, I mean, it needs to be good.
It's
not like a free pass just because it's about Doctor Who, but we are especially looking for articles about Doctor Who this week in anticipation of the premiere. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and you can find all that stuff. It's all on Hyperball. We have a handy article where it's all listed together, so you can find it in one place.
So everyone's
I'm so ready for Capaldi. Can I just say, like, I am so I love Matt Smith, but I'm so ready for this. I'm so excited.
It's ridiculous. It feels like it's been so long.
I was just going to ask that. It seems like everybody's legitimately excited about Capaldi.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's a really new direction for them. Mm-hmm. It could be a new direction for them.
Do you guys have viewing plans on Saturday?
Me and my mom and my little brother. Oh, no, then my mom's not home. Oh, no. No, I don't have any.
I have no plans.
All alone.
How about you, Marima?
Well, they're showing it in theaters here, and I was going to go and see that, but I think I'm going to be away this weekend now, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to watch it. I might have to catch up when I get back.
I wonder if they're going to do that here.
They're doing it in America, in some theaters in the UK and Australia. I don't know about Europe.
No, we did watch the anniversary in the
got the 50th one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they might be doing it too. That's the same as what they're doing here. Like,
I'll go by myself.
I'm gonna be.
Yeah, look it up.
They should do that stuff more often with shows. I feel like that'd be really neat.
I know.
To like,
they should
like watch Walking Dead.
It is there.
In the theater. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be awesome.
What's your problem, Selena?
Because, I mean, Twitter has showed that people really like to discuss television with their friends and react to it. So if you're in a theater surrounded by a ton of fans, it's just like a midnight movie release. It would be
But I think big episodes, though. It's really cool.
We talked about this for, like, House of Cards or something, I think, when that came out, that they should have premiered, like, the first episode in the cinema or something, rather than everyone sitting at home, like, on the couch watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm. So I would like if Doctor Who kind of started a trend. That would be cool.
We have
just for big episodes, not for, like, every week, but it's a fun thing to do.
I think it'd be awesome. I'd love to do it.
We have a comment here from...
I saw the 50th and it was cool.
We have a comment here from Laura. She says, the Doctor Who quizzes are so hard but fun. You guys should consider making super difficult Harry Potter quizzes at some point.
Ooh.
That's hard to do.
Didn't we do one?
Because everyone knows like everything about Potter.
We've done some Harry Potter quizzes, yeah.
There could be some Harry Potter things coming up. Tease.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We'll see.
No, we're never going to write about Harry Potter again.
Yeah,
we don't. We hate. That's it. We're done now.
Harry Potter week.
Harry Potter life.
Yeah, seriously. Harry Potter month. Harry Potter year. Okay, so we also wanted to plug a couple other things before we wrap up the show, and then we have some things on the calendar worth talking about. Karen, our resident Percy Jackson fan, she did a great interview with Rick Riordan, the author of Percy Jackson.
That was really cool.
The new book is coming out, Percy Jackson's Greek Gods. That is going to be published,
I think it's out now.
Oh, yeah, it's out now. August 19th came out. Great. So that's always exciting to be able to talk to some of our favorite authors, and Karen was super pumped about that. And he promoted it on Twitter, which was nice.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of cool interviews, Ara and Brittany got to sit down with Daniel Radcliffe and Zoe Kazan for their new film, their new rom-com, What If? And you can watch the video. You can watch the video sit down interview over on Hypeable.
It's super cute.
It is cute. It is cute.
It's really cute. That still doesn't have an Australian release date, and I'm ready to throw things about that.
It's got to be frustrating, like just all the movies that don't come to Australia. It's weird.
I mean, most come to Australia. Like, this is a rare occurrence. This doesn't
That's
happen.
A smaller film. Galaxy
still hasn't come to Germany.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's
very surprising.
The premieres next week.
Hmm.
How weird.
Well, Marima's already coming back to America in November, and that's why she's going to catch up on all the movies that aren't out.
Yeah, because I'll finally be able to see What If. That's the entire reason I'm going there.
That's why you're going.
You have like a sugar daddy that lives here?
His name's Andrew.
Yeah, his name's me. And she sleeps here, right here.
Yeah, that's my bed.
Yeah, built it just for her.
Seriously.
So looking at what's coming up, If I Stay is going to be in theaters this weekend. This is the latest book-to-film adaptation to hit movie theaters. Jen, our book writer, published an interesting review, a little article yesterday, pointing out that If I Stay is actually doing very well on the best-selling books charts. It's number one on New York Times bestsellers, it's number one at USA Today, and it's number two on Amazon. Which may suggest that it's going to do very well at the box office, because films like The Fault in Our Stars, The Hunger Games, Twilight, they all did very well on the bestseller list right before hitting theaters, whereas films like Beautiful Creatures and she name-checked one other, Mortal Instruments, did not do well on the bestseller list just before it hit theaters. So, Merrim, I know you've read this one. Do you think it's going to do well at the box office?
I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I think there's a lot of potential there. It's a really cool story, and it's a standalone, which people are getting more into in terms of like young adult. There's the groundswell from The Fault in Our Stars, which I think will help it out, because mm-hmm. it's going to attract a similar audience if people give it a shot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've been hearing like reasonably good things. I think the only thing people are a little concerned about is Chloe Moretz as the lead.
How so? What's the concern?
Because it's the entire book is really in her head and like really focused on her, so she has to be amazing, or the film will suffer, because she's going to be in like every scene.
She's in like a coma, right? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. So she's in an accident. She's in a coma, and then
they show that in the trailer, so it's not spoiler.
Yeah, and then she kind of has like an out of body experience where she can see what's happening around her as she's in the coma, and she has to decide whether she's going to wake up and stay there, or if she's going to die and leave. Hmm. And that's film. So, yeah, it's a challenging role for her. So I think that will kind of make or break it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, this Sunday, a little TV news, the True Blood series finale is upon us. I can't believe it's almost over. The show started in 2007, and this final 10-episode season.
It's had a good run.
Yeah, it's had a good... Well, yeah, it's been around
it's
for a while.
It's had a mixed run.
The more recent seasons have not been that great. And the first half of the season I loved. And then it's sort of kind of gotten a little bad, but we'll see what happens. I love series finales, because it's like it's their last chance to really make some big plot movements. So there's a chance Bill may die. It's hard to say. I guess that's one exciting part about it. It's hard to say what is actually going to be happening during this finale. So we will see. That is this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And I did on Hypeable a little predictions article, some of my predictions. If you want to check that out, that's on Hypeable now. What were you going to say, Josh?
I was going to say, just a quick note on, you were like, you said you loved series finales, and I know no one watches the show, but I watched FX's Wilfred with the guy in the dog suit or whatever, mm-hmm. and their season finale, or series finale, was last Wednesday, And I was like so excited for it because it only had like a million viewers over the last 4 years. And it had like Elijah Wood in it. So it wasn't like there was nobody in the show, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just was so disappointed with the series finale. And it crushed me because you look forward to it for so long and you want it to like wrap up so many questions.
Yeah.
And it just like, it killed me for like a week. I was like, God, I can't believe that. You know,
I stuck with it, even though it had
terrible ratings but a lot of, you know, it was like a million people just stuck with it. And I felt like they just didn't do the fans justice, but hopefully True Blood will get some justice for you guys.
The bar is set pretty low for True Blood, so I don't think anyone's expecting
well,
anything.
That was the thing. The bar was set pretty low for my show, too, so yeah. I was like, this is kind of bad.
Well, like, Dexter was, that last year, that was the series finale, and I don't watch the show, but people were really upset with how Dexter wrapped up.
Yeah.
Because, like, he went off to Alaska or something.
It's funny how it happens, where you really, you invest so much, and then it just, like, guts you whenever it doesn't work.
It's just like
no
a book finale.
For Dexter.
It's just like the final book in a series. People look forward to things, and then they get let down. Like, Allegiant had a lot of criticism. Breaking Dawn, there was a lot of criticism.
Lost.
Well, I find myself doing that a lot, where I build up films in my head because I write about them so much, and then I'll realize that they're not nearly as good as I was, you know, thinking they were going to be. And I've had to adjust, like, how I look at films before I see them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And finally this week on the calendar, The Fault in Our Stars hits DVD and Blu-ray September 16th, which is a little far out, but it will also be released on for digital download sooner. I'm trying to look up the date of that. It is August 26th, so 5 days from now. And heads up, we will probably be doing, a while ago on Hypebol, we used to do like kind of group movie watches. I forget what the name of what we were doing.
Live watch parties.
Yeah, kind of movie watch parties with a chat room. Everybody starts watching at the same time and we all talk about it. We're going to do that for The Fault in Our Stars. Kyle is organizing that. Thought that was a good film to get back into the groove of doing those with, since we have a big Fault in Our Stars following, John Green following. So
everyone can cry together. It'll be beautiful.
Yeah. Mm. So we'll do that after the DVD and Blu-ray is out, so everybody has some time to get it. And I guess we'll do it on a weekend or something, when less people are at work. So that's everything, I believe. Thanks, everybody, who tuned in live. If you want to watch live and submit questions, we do these Thursday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. That's 7 a.m. Pacific. You can still see the sleep in my eye. And and you can see Marima nodding off into sleep.
12 a.m. Australian time.
Oh, wow.
Marima, by the way, great curtains. I just noticed those.
Really stop it.
Those are amazing.
I hate you. I'm going to murder you in November. Murdering you.
See, video, you get to see some things. Some fun things. Don't you have the Half-Blood Prince art behind you? Is that what I see?
Yeah, that's...
By Kazu Kibishi, signed by the illustrator.
And I live in a padded cell.
So. Which has internet,
one.
Though.
Here.
So that's nice. So 10 a.m. Eastern Thursday. We do it every other Thursday. So and we put up an article on Hypebol. We'll be publishing them the night before. So you have a heads up in case you forget. You can watch live. You can submit questions. Thanks to the couple of questions we got today. The people who tuned in live. And of course, if you're listening to this, you can also watch it even if you can't catch it live. We have it on YouTube, and you can watch it in the episode post on Hypebol. So thanks, everybody.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we have an amazing Spider-Man 2 Blu-ray giveaway where we have 5 Blu-rays that we're giving away. So be sure to check the site. And I think today is actually the last day. So
get in your entries.
Get your entries in.
Finally, just got this comment from Melody. She says, really enjoyed the live shows. Great show, guys. Thanks for all the work. Thank you, Melody. That's nice. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll wrap up the show before we get a negative comment.
Yeah. Let's end on a positive for once.
Do we do the order on this show? Do we do the farewell? I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Josh Neely.
I'm Marima White.
And I'm Selena Wilkin.
Selena, thanks again for joining us. Hopefully we can have
you
on more.
You're welcome, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
No, the pleasure's all ours.
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 Yes. Yay, Selena.
Yay. We'll see everybody next time for episode 33. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.